You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Person, it's action packed today. We've got Ivan's in the house.
Morning, boss.
Thank you, Ivan. And Phoebe has come in early because she must be getting jigged up. Because we've got later on, we've got Dr. Ben Fordham, MD. The MD stands for Managing Don. He is Don's psychoanalyst, and he's coming on from Sydney. Wait till we tell him how great we went down here over the weekend with the Grand Prix and everything else. And
is there someone missing, boss?
Don just is a just in a world of his own. He came in and he sat down, and then he suddenly got up as I pressed record, and he's gone upstairs and he's speaking to those upstairs. I don't know what he's doing. Now Phoebe, we might as well just ask you straight off the bat.
Good morning, Sam.
Thank you, Phoebe. Now, Phoebe, I was Phoebe's plus one at the Grand Prix. She very kindly, the cat's mother, did I want to go to the Grand Prix? And I said, yes, that'd be nice. And she had all the tickets. Do you know who wins at the Grand Prix? Those who have the most bracelets and necklets and badges around their neck. If you got a whole swag of them, you're a winner. Anyhow, we had just a couple, and then we got another one because we went through the pits. And I tell you why it was refreshing, Phoebe, because usually I get lumbered and stopped, which I don't mind because, you know, they're your friends, they're there, and those people who don't like you actually won't speak to you, but those people who do like you do speak to you. But Phoebe knew more people and was stopped by more people and had interaction with more people, social intercourse with more people. And so it was, I just stood back and watched her go to town. She is the best networker in the business. And Phoebe, wasn't it? It was exciting, wasn't it?
You are very kind to say that, Sam, but that is not true at all. Walking through the Grand Prix with Sam was really good fun because there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people throughout the day who came up to say hello to him and have selfies with him, which was lovely. And I'd like to do a big shout out to Mitch, who we met on the pit lane walk. He's one of our listeners, and he was very complimentary towards Sam and Don and the podcast, which was just lovely to catch up with him. So hello to you, Mitch. And Sam, you know, it was a good day. It was actually a terrific day.
What day?
We went on Sunday, so we went on race day, and we not only did the pit lane walk, but we were able to go behind the garages and see all the teams in action, which was really very special. We were very lucky that we were given an escort through there by a very charming man from the Australian Grand Prix Corporation. And I think, Sam, all up, I'd say that we didn't have a bad day, did we? We need to say a big thank you to Channel 10. They were the people who hosted us actually at the track. So I just want to be very, very thankful and complimentary towards 10 because their suite was superb. They had absolutely lovely guests in there and they were very, very generous hosts.
Very, they were indeed. And thanks to 10. Who are they owned by? Disney or what?
It's Paramount Studios.
Paramount, that's it. Yep, that's right.
So did you manage to knock off any gear as you left, just like everyone else did? Remote controls?
I don't know where you...
No, we had a bottle of water that we took with us.
I don't know what your modus operandi is when you get asked to go to events, Ivan, but the last thing we want to do is knock off stuff because that would ensure that you don't get invited back. Now, seeing as you have, Phoebe, mentioned a shout-out to Mitch, I took a note on my phone. Someone said you've got a little thing on your phone called Notes. So I typed in Notes to who we had to give a shout-out to. So Mitch was one of them there. These are the people. A man called Bill Krishnachuk. Do you know Bill Krishnachuk? He is a
town planner.
Yes, he is. Big Bill there. Big bad Bill. He, Don, we were just, while you're
up. I've just been up in a production meeting.
While you were taking no notice of what we're doing, we've started this. Bill Krishnachuk, who drives a Ford Cobra. and he looks like a watermelon driving a toy car. He's a huge man, and the car he envelops the car. But Bill was there. Clark, we had to speak to Clark. These are shout outs at the Grand Prix, Don. You'd be amazed at the number of people.
But you're a C-lister now.
I said to Phoebe that. I'm a C-lister, but Phoebe's an A-lister.
Is she?
She pressed the flesh with just about everyone.
How many people were there that you didn't recognise from the younger generation?
Don, he had a great day and was recognised by many people.
Yes, but how many people didn't he know?
Plenty. Now, so Clark, we had to mention Clark. Let me tell you about Michelle Payne. George, who is an architect and developer, he said hello. Andrew Kroger has just come back from Israel. That's Michael Kroger's son and Annie Peacock's son. He's just back from Israel and showed me a picture of a whole lot of Israelis. No, well, they're not wearing Israelis. I think they're...
they were Arabs, were they?
No. They are people who have come from Australia who are now living in Israel. Nice. He had a group picture of all the people with the hats on. You cannot be serious hats. So... just could I tell you about the two most embarrassing things almost I've been involved in, certainly at the Grand Prix, Phoebe. I was standing talking to a very, Don, you would have loved this girl, she was a woman. She was a beautiful looking girl with her tressed up hair and a beautiful dress on. And I was introduced to it. I didn't quite hear her name. She said, hello, Sam. And I said, hello. And I said, now, what's your name? She said, Michelle. I said, and what do you do, Michelle? She said, she thought I was taking the urine. I said, what do you do? She said, well, I ride horses. I said, do you now? I said, now, I've got a friend called Don Scott who rides horses. And what capacity do you... What?
And she said, who?
No, Don Scott. I said,
have a look at the...
Let him
finish
the story.
In what capacity do you ride horses? She said, well, she's a bit embarrassed. She didn't want to blow her own bags up. I said, what? She said, I'm a jockey. I said, are you? I said, really? I said, how long have you been a jockey? This went on for 5 minutes. And she was getting a bit irritable because she thought I was actually taking the piss out of her. And I said, and she said, yes, I'm a jockey. And I said, what's your surname? She said, my name's Michelle Payne. And I said, holy shit, Michelle, I am so sorry. I said, and I was looking at this petite young girl who looked fantastic, could have been one of Victoria's Secret's models.
Really?
And she gets on top of a one-ton horse and rides it round and beating all the blokes. I felt so humble to be with her.
Well, why don't we get her on the podcast?
Well, now
we haven't had a jockey on the podcast.
So we've got Phoebe working on that at the minute. Phoebe... Every person we spoke to, Phoebe said,
she sent out a million emails already.
Every person we spoke to, Phoebe said, could you come on Sam and Don's Ponca? I said, well, hang on, Phoebe. She's got a list of as long as her arm about she's buttonholing.
Look, if you don't ask, you don't get. So there was
you
just
don't
some
know
very
the dynamics of this thing here.
Don, there were some very interesting people that we were chatting to who I think would have great stories to tell, and Sam would enjoy, and you would enjoy chatting with.
So
we've just done some requests.
This podcast. He's the control freak. You can't be taking
so
over.
So could I just tell you this, Don? So Phoebe introduces me. This is the most embarrassing thing almost for the Grand Prix. So Phoebe introduces me. There's this young lad standing next to this very attractive girl. And Phoebe says, this is whatever the girl's name was. And she said, and this is Dan. And I said, g'day, mate. I said, now, Dan. I said, Dan, is it? He said, yeah.
Did he have glasses?
I said to him, Dan, what do you do? He said, I play football. And I said, do you, mate? I said, good on you.
I'm not condescending at all.
Jesus.
And he is looking at me. He is looking at me. And he again thought I was taking the piss out of him. And I said, I honestly didn't recognise him. He said, Dad. I said, Daniel, is it? He said, yeah. I said,
there you go. Good rep.
I said, what's your surname?
Ricardo.
He said, Rioli. I said, Daniel Rioli? He said, yeah. I said, oh, Daniel, I am so sorry. I said, please don't think I'm taking a rise out of you. I honestly didn't recognise you out of my comfort zone. So there's two great faux pas, Daniel Rioli. Yeah.
How many more were there? I really could have given you a kick up the butt, Sam, because what's going on? But no, I figured out next time we're going to get you a cheat sheet before you go to the track so you can, clue up on a few people.
Well, you could have said, this is girlfriend's name, and you could have said, this is Daniel Rioli. Have said, this is Michelle
Payne.
He's
been out of the loop for a long time, Fiona. You're taking this old bloke down.
Stop it.
That's exactly right.
He's out of his comfort zone.
Don, you're spot on.
What about Kylie? Did you walk around the grid with Kylie?
Oh, I wish I'd seen Kylie. Yeah. Don't worry about that. I wish I'd seen Kylie. But anyhow, so now, Phoebe, we just want to speak to you. You reckon that you had a very feature lead article in the great paper that you write for. We met the boss of the Herald Sun, but you're the Sunday Herald Sun.
No, you met Nick, who is the editor of the Sunday Herald Sun, Nick Papps.
Oh, Nick Papps.
Yes.
And I said, he's the editor of the Sunday Herald Sun.
Yes.
Because, Don, we were quoted in we weren't quoted. The whole article about Robin Wilcourt, about the Essendon saga, and we just got one line, as heard on You Cannot Be Serious. I thought, we're providing most of the stories to that paper. Not the Sunday Herald Sun. The Herald Sun.
It's good that the people pay us a compliment.
It is too. Well, so they
all do. That was Sam, wasn't it? Sam Landsberger.
I don't know who it was. Anyhow, Phoebe had an article in there, and I thought this would resonate with you, Don, and Ivan. And it said, I'll tell you what it said. I'll just get it on the phone. It said, I've got it here, Phoebe. It said, Aussie blokes are lazy lovers. That's what the article was about. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Phoebe?
So I interviewed Alessandra Rampola, who is the sex expert on Married at First Sight, and I asked her about Australian men and the fellows that had been on Married at Sight this year and her thoughts about them. And she said to me, and I'm paraphrasing her, that Australian men are lazy in the art of seduction, are lacking in game and letting themselves down in the romance stakes compared to their overseas counterparts. So it all comes down to the issue of effort. She says effort is sexy, and Australian men, in her experience, both personally and on Married at First Sight, don't make enough effort to woo their potential
How do you
partners.
Woo a woman,
well, you've been nice
exactly,
to them.
Exactly, Don. This is why I thought this would resonate with you. You are so lazy and so uncommunicative and so blatant and brash and rude.
Well, I've just asked Fiona for some tips. What do I do, or what do we do as Australian men to woo women?
Well, what would you do?
I'd tell you what,
just
Don.
Just be alive.
Nothing. There you go. So that's the starting point. Your idea of wooing a potential partner is to do absolutely nothing.
You want a coffee?
Well, fail.
Here's my coffee.
Fail. Make an
I've seen Don. Well, what's wrong?
I've seen Don in action. Seriously, I'm not so sharp at it myself. I'm not. But you want? I'm not crisp. But Don is just. Hello. Who are you? What do you want? A coffee? And so just the person, woman, says,
hello. How are you?
I'm Don. Well, would you like? Do you want a coffee or not? Well, hang on. I mean, she said, I don't know you. Oh, well, too late. And then moves on to the next person. Hello, who are you? I've seen it. I've seen him operate. And he is extraordinary.
You get plenty of knockbacks, but boy, do you get plenty of...
Yeah, you get the odd one, Don. You get the odd one. I'll concede you that. Phoebe, the only flaw in what you said then is that men aren't proactive enough is that if you are too proactive these days with women, you'll get accused of being sexually harassing them, of being over the top, not giving
Hang
them
on,
the space. I mean, that is nonsense what that woman said.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is. I think it's not about being inappropriate. It's about being thoughtful and interesting and, you know, making an effort. And she also says women need to make an effort too. So it's a it, but she's talking from her experiences, and I asked her about her experiences dating here in Australia.
Men have had the rug pulled out from under. So if Phoebe, and says, "Hello, can I just tell you something? You're looking extremely attractive. You look fantastic." Cool. They'll say, honestly, that's the big
Fiona.
Well, no, say anyway, that to Fiona. If you say that to a woman,
you're on
tenterhooks as to whether that will be considered to be sexist remark or you're being. Honestly, men have had the rough edges beaten off them so much so now that they're sort of meek. Most of them are meek, except Don, who just goes bang with a sledgehammer.
And well, you're not far behind.
Okay, no, but that's an interesting point. So do you think she's pointing out what she sees to be a flaw in the male dating psyche? But your argument is that flaw has actually been created because of the way society has, has stopped. You know, that regular or casual interplay between men and women.
Yes, absolutely, Phoebe. If you see someone who's attractive, whether it be a man, woman or a beast, and you go up with a view to actually chatting them up, if you want to use the slang word of or trying to woo them, if you say anything about the way they look or the way they speak or their dress, you'll suddenly very likely to be put in a pigeonhole where you're just looking at the people aesthetically and not trying to get into the back of their brain if they've got one. Seriously, it's all right for that woman to say that, but most people are jumping at shadows these days, men.
Well, it was a very well-read story and it certainly got a lot of people talking. And can I say the other story that got a lot of people talking on the weekend, well, certainly got a lot of interaction, was one that I did just as a bit of fun, actually, just a historical piece on the era of the grid girls at Albert Park. It just felt like a good day to write that story and publish it on Sunday because the Grand Prix was front of mind, and I remember covering all sorts of events that were associated with grid girls. Just looking back on that era where the grid girls were a very big part of the Grand Prix in Melbourne. They got kicked out a few years ago.
They did.
This is for exactly the reason. Why do you reckon they got kicked out?
Well,
of course, because people said we're using them as sex objects and we're pointing out their aesthetic appeal to the detriment of those porkers who never get a gig because they're, well, men and women porkers.
Oh, hey, no, please, bad language. But no,
who aren't attractive.
The grid girls were put on ice because it was deemed that the concept of a grid girl was old-fashioned and inappropriate and outdated.
That's nonsense, Phoebe.
I
know you're being diplomatic for the company you work for. That is absolute nonsense and you know it. I don't know how you can say that with a straight face.
Listen, can I ask you something?
They were taken off because people complained who weren't quite as fortunate in the aesthetic appeal of what they look like. They were taken off because they said it was sexist and they were exploiting women's shape and their demeanour, which is exactly what good-looking people, men and women alike, make money on. Some of them model clothes because they can do that, and others go and be accountants and lawyers because they're not quite in that shape that you'd want to have them standing in front of a car holding a flag, and it is nonsense.
Ask you something about the Grand Prix?
And you should be ashamed of yourself, Phoebe, for saying that.
And you're being extremely grumpy. Don,
now,
what were you going
to
say?
Can I ask you something about the Grand Prix? I watched the star. I've been to one race meeting at Sandown where they have those, what do you call them?
Supercars.
Supercars, is it? I enjoyed the start and the finish, not because of anything, but I thought that was interesting, the way they jockey for position, and I like trying to make the dash for the line. Now, why at that Grand Prix, why do they always prang at the first corner? Now, I watched the start, and it's not the first time. And why do they always...
Are you seriously asking that question?
Yes, I am.
Now, mate,
why don't they straighten it out so they don't prang?
Oh, Don. What? So you've got to turn at some stage, Don.
Well, have it a sweeping corner or...
Maybe they should go at different times. 1 o'clock.
I don't know
time trials.
Well, is the track too narrow?
Of course it is. There's 26 cars, 24 cars, and you're trying to get.
Well, make it wider so we at least get the race off and going.
That's part of the art of driving a car, Don, is judging, is deciding can you go quickly into a corner and not have an accident. That's the skill of it all, mate. You've got to turn some stage.
Otherwise, there's always prangs on that first corner.
Because the car that gets ahead is very hard to beat, generally speaking. Once you get ahead, they're extremely hard to pass because they all the difference between the first car and the last car is about 1.5 seconds a lap. Really? Which is extraordinary when you think about it.
Righto. Well, I'm not interested at all. The other thing, I was coming in and out because I was working my horse. There seemed to be a lot of stops and starts when I came. Oh, they're stopped again. I'd come back in a little while later. They're stopped again. What is this?
In
the
history
now?
Of Grand Prix racing, that was the most number of red flags that have ever happened in a Grand Prix. They stopped the race three times.
What, the prangs, were they?
Yeah, accidents that where the cars and the gravel is strewn across the course, and they it is dangerous, so they get it all off, get the tractors and lift the cars off, and then they sweep it up, and then they start again. That was unusually the most number of red flags in any Grand Prix ever here last Saturday.
And that
Sunday
was Andrew Westcott's last race. So,
and what a fantastic job Andy did, didn't he? You met his Mrs. Tina.
Oh, Tina and his daughter Amy. They're a wonderful family. Oh. And Andrew has done a superb job heading up the Grand Prix for this.
Was wonderful?
I'm looking at you.
Andrew Westcott,
can I just say, Andrew Westcott has done a magnificent job as the head of that Grand Prix Corporation for something like, is it what? 16 years.
So, Don.
Incredible.
Yep. So, Don.
The other thing, hang on, can I go on and say,
what were you gonna say,
the other thing with my little coming in and out, was there seemed to be a lot more stands. So they got more stands or the crowd seemed to be right?
Because they sold out, Don.
It was a record crowd, Don.
But there seems to be more infrastructure.
That's correct.
You're right, Don.
Because they sold out 3 months before and they kept building stands to accommodate people.
To me, it adds to the atmosphere that seemed to be the crowd kind of on top of the action. Is that what it was like?
Yep. 440,000 people. That's the best we've ever had.
You mean that's over 3 days?
Over
4 days. 444,000 over the 4 days.
First of all, you said, why are there so many stacks at the first corner? Because they got a turn. And secondly, you said, I reckon the more people you have looking down on the track, the better the atmosphere. Are you serious? Of course it is.
Well, that's the ambience.
That's what it's about, man. Why would you make a comment like that?
Because in previous time when I watched, there wasn't as much infrastructure as far as stands go.
Because the crowd didn't. That was sold out 3 months before. So they built stands to accommodate them.
What about the snakes? They're going to store all that on the on a farm somewhere. The snakes will get into the tubing and we'll have an influx of snakes around Elba Park Lake again. I went looking for Solvol. Is that still on the shelves? You remember Solvol? We used to call it sand soap. You come in with dirty hands. Yep. I've got one block left at home, so I thought, get another block. Yep. Now, Solvol, is that an Australian thing that's now like Vegemite? No, Vegemite's still around, isn't it? What else has gone by the board?
I don't have an answer.
I haven't looked for Solvol
for a while.
Well, there's an iconic brand that's, I reckon, gone.
Jeez.
How unfortunate, Don, because I've just got a message from Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, Managing Don. It says, hey, mate, I've got to pull out today because we're staying on air longer because of the network's interest in Trump. Can I do next week? So they're going to stay on air to talk about the disgraceful nonsense. No,
that's
I'm
one
just
of the things
you.
From upstairs.
I
we're
don't
not
care.
Allowed to talk
well,
about
the
Trump.
Upstairs wouldn't even know anything about what's going on with Trump. It's the most disgraceful hijacking of the judicial system you can see. And they're just ensuring he'll be the president, the 47th president. That's all they're ensuring. It'll backfire on them drastically. So he's not coming on. That's all I'm saying, Phoebe, the doc.
I
know, I'm sorry about that.
Why did I come in here?
That's why you'll have to go now. Fiona. Before you go, can you get me a coffee?
Solvol liquid you can buy, Don, at Bunnings. Solvol liquid. Yeah, they don't make the soap anymore, the bar.
So I was right. Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Ivan.
So Don, I saw there'd be substitutes. What's wrong with your what did you need Solvol for?
Because I work on the farm, on my property, and the hands get dirty.
That's the only thing that can get your hands clean.
Yeah, exactly. It's called eucalyptus oil. No, sand soap. It used to be called.
Yeah, eucalyptus oil.
Sand soap.
I know what it is, Don. Okay, it's all. Well. It's a gritty substance that is abrasive, like your
the
good
other smart
self.
Thing which got up my goat the other day. I was looking for my oats. Do you know that they've gone up 50% in price from a 99 cents a packet to $1.60, and they've reduced the weight down to 750?
Far days from when you were sowing them.
Far out.
Far days from when you were sowing those oats, Don. We didn't know that oats had gone in price because we don't have horses. And
no,
we're
these
not,
are no, oats that you eat. No, is this a porridge or something? Yes.
Oh. Porridge.
Oh, porridge. Sorry.
What do they call rolled oats?
Oh, I see. Porridge.
We're going to start a new segment next week. Yeah. Cooking with
Completely
Don.
Completely irrelevant topics.
Shopping with Don.
Completely irrelevant topics.
Shopping
we're
and
start.
The rip-offs that are happening
oats
that we're unaware
Solvol.
Of.
Yeah. Oats and Solvol.
Okay, I've got another news story for you to discuss. So this was published last week. So apparently claims have been made by a company that they have sold out of life-size female sex dolls because allegedly, or they are claiming, that people are buying these dolls to use as passengers in their vehicles as they travel along Melbourne freeways to allow them to use the restricted
transit
lanes. Yeah. Yes, which need a certain number of
you need a
people
passenger
in it.
To get in that lane.
Now, I don't know if I spoke to this company and I spoke to the Victoria Police about this story, and I am not 100% sure that this is actually happening. And I would like anyone who has seen
I have seen
this.
Them.
You have seen.
I have, are they dressed
tell
up?
Us about this,
they,
Sam.
Are the girls dressed up?
Yes, this has been going on. This is not new. This
so
has
they
been,
dress their dolls no, up.
Well,
this
they,
is not new since they bought in transit lanes. This has been going on for years.
Yep.
I don't
really?
Know if they've sold out, but I've seen on the Eastern Freeway, that's the one out going out to Ferntree Gully.
Yes.
Yep. I've seen them pull up at the when they get to Hoddle Street, they pull up and there's I've seen and you look over and you think shit and they have
you
a wig on.
You were perving. You were perving. You should have kept your mind on the road. Yet you were distracted by a was she blonde? A
I
blonde.
Don, I said when they pull up at the end of the freeway to get onto Hoddle Street, you generally look around at the cars beside you, don't you?
No, unless I don't look where I'm going.
Well, if you're not going anywhere, you're stopped. You look at the car next to you, and I've noticed a blow-up doll with wig on it, and they do that. I've seen. I don't know if they've sold out because of it. What happens
How
if you said...
How much they cost?
What happened...
Over $3,000.
Wow.
About $3,000. And this company has sold... They usually sell about one of these, inverted commas, dolls a month. They're the size of mannequins. They're not, you know, little... they're not dolls. It's a funny thing to call them dolls because they are essentially life-size mannequins. Mm. They weigh about 50 kilos. And usually this company...
Kilos.
Yes, usually this company would sell...
And you could have sex
one,
with them.
One a month.
But they're full
and
of air, aren't they? 50 kilos of air.
No, they're not
air. You
can blow air
into them, Don,
anyway,
when you actually have sex with them.
What did
they've
Victoria
sold 300.
Police?
They have sold 300 in 2 months, and that is the entire stock that they carry
Phoebe,
for all of Australia.
Let me ask you this, Phoebe. Just say you said to the copper who pulled you up, you said, this is my comfort. I don't have a comfort dog or a comfort animal. This is a person that I actually, this is an object that I travel with. I have sex with it. I live with it at home. I take it overseas. Pull the tube out and it flattens up and I put it in my suitcase and when I get overseas I blow it up and I do all sorts of things to it and it accompanies wherever I go. You'd get away with that. If you said that was your comfort doll.
Have Victoria
and you
Police
with you.
Changed the wording on...
No, I spoke to Victoria Police when this came out as a press release and I interviewed the people who run the company and I spoke to the police and I asked them, have you got any evidence of or found, has anyone ever been pulled over and been discovered to have a mannequin, a life-size sex doll, sitting in the car seat beside them? And they told me that no, they have no record of that. So
because they might be very successful in the fact that they're not sprung, because people think that they actually are carrying a passenger.
Well, perhaps, so it's perhaps working beautifully. That is the case. Well, but Sam, you're the only person I know who seen this. This is extraordinary.
I have seen it. I actually have seen it.
The only person I haven't people seen, have seen it.
What's that, Don?
I haven't seen it. It's news to me.
I've seen a blow-up doll at your place.
Have you?
When I came down one
she
day.
She rides a horse too. She's very good
no,
when we double
No, you
it.
Had a strap down to your bed in your bedroom. It was half inflated. He had to blow her up. You want to see how he blows her up? Phoebe, can I tell you this? Jim Penman, do you know who he is?
Yes, I do. Jim Smalley.
I'm going to do this.
Go on.
Jim Penman has seceded. He wants to secede from Victoria because he's had a gutful of the Andrews government. He's from Jim's Mowing.
But he took them on over COVID, didn't he?
He did, and rightly so. When all the council workers were allowed to mow the nature strips and everything, but Jim's Mowing people weren't allowed on a single person take a mower out and mow people's lawns, he said that's discriminatory, and of course it was, wasn't it? Phoebe, no, don't get involved in that. He's opening he wants to secede and open a new sort of country, if you like, with their own currency, their own flag, their own stamps, their own passport. And the way things are going, I might join. It's called Jimland, isn't it?
So are you going to have Samland? Are you going to declare yourself a republic here in
Docklands? I'm going to join Jimland.
Right.
Is that what he calls it?
Jimland.
He's also making beer too now, isn't he? Something Jim's beer or something that a tradie can drink after.
Yes, I think he got
mowing the lawn.
I think he got into trouble with that. Someone said that they were, his can was very similar to another model or makeup of can, and he was asked to. I think that's quite a. I wouldn't mind being a resident of Jimland. That is the ultimate. The ultimate objection to what's going on in this country, this state. And what is going on in this state is we've got Dan over in China. We've got Chinese hats now. MichaelChristianMenswear.com is manufacturing hats with "You cannot be serious" in Chinese writing, just waiting for the takeover. And had quite some interest in those hats. Did you know that, Phoebe?
No, but I just want to say that this idea of Jim's Mowing, setting up his own republic as such, it's not new. It has happened once before. There was someone in Western Australia.
Exactly right.
Help me with this.
Hutt.
Yes.
Hutt? Wasn't the municipal province whatever of Hutt, yes. H-U-double-T.
Yeah, it was too.
I want to find that because I think that's...
I remember reading about him
funny.
In the Woman's Weekly.
Woman's Weekly?
Do you remember the Woman's Weekly?
Yeah.
Came out weekly.
Monthly, wasn't it?
No, when I was young, it was Woman's Weekly.
Hence it's named on. Yeah. Let me just write this down. Solvol soap.
Solvol.
Solvol.
What about the price of auto gas?
Woman's
it's gone up.
What are you paying now?
Over a dollar.
Jeez, I remember when it was 17 cents.
What is?
17 cents.
Jeez, it's a rip-off. We've got gas fields out in Bass Strait. Why is it increasing in price and it doesn't get any publicity?
Can I ask you this, Phoebe?
Mm-hmm.
So I have a... So the Melbourne City Council, Don, while they're trying to do a lot of things, COVID is responsible for a slackening of talent.
People you mean women, ladies walking down
the... dumb people being employed by the council.
Oh, dumb people.
Yeah, right. Dumb.
Bureaucrats.
I got a ticket because I parked my car in a disabled spot.
Well, you are disabled.
That's correct. Quite correct. I have a disabled sticker, a genuine disabled sticker. Because I can't walk.
I know.
And I got a ticket.
Right.
The second ticket I've got from... being in a disabled spot. I got one 3 months ago.
Right.
Yeah, so I sent
this is fodder for you. Up to your trot to the Melbourne City Council in Swanson Street, the bylaws, traffic department.
And this is my very point. Oh. Because they are completely incompetent and stupid and low IQ people, you have to waste your time doing exactly what you said. So I sent them an email.
I sent them an email, I said,
I require you to withdraw this immediately, and if you continue to do this, I will take legal action for harassment. So I'm waiting to see what happens. Why I've got a picture of the disabled sticker on the dashboard with the ticket beside it, and you will say, oh, well, you could have put this disabled sticker on when you got back to your car. I said, why would you do that? I've got a disabled sticker and I parked it in a disabled spot. So I'm waiting to see what happens there. And this is, and so when you go to the website, you'll love this. You've got to trawl through the all, we are welcome to, you've got to say who we are and what province we're living in and what tribes owns the whole thing. And they've got a picture of the Aboriginal flag and the Thursday Island or the Torres Strait Islander flag, not an Australian flag. If you could just possibly stop all the bullshit that goes on with the paraphernalia and actually get people who know what they're doing and have an IQ bigger than their shoe size, things might be better in the council. This I say. Why would you have to put up with that, Phoebe?
Look, Sam, you are doing the right thing by contacting them and asking them to...
Well, I only contact them because you get fined if you ignore
it. Yeah, but you've got to do that. You can't ignore stuff. Like you. And I actually said this to someone the other day who has got an enormous amount of fines from toll roads, actually, and they have not paid them and they're in trouble. And I actually did say to them, the longer you leave it, and the longer you take to address this, the more that fine goes up because there's penalties on penalties on penalties that
pile
into that.
I hate to be the devil's advocate of everything.
You've got to deal with stuff.
I hate to be the devil's advocate of everything you say, Phoebe, but the amount of bogus letters and emails you get from transit companies and LinkedIn and...
the police,
everything.
I got one
everything.
From the police.
If you responded to all those, and I can understand why people take no notice of getting fines for EastLink or the Transit Authority or LinkedIn, because it's just a rort. It's people trying to exploit you.
There's definitely scams going on.
Yes, scams is the word I was after.
But if you have got a legitimate fine, you can't let it go on for years because you'll end up with – it'll become astronomically expensive to pay.
It will. How do you know if it's legitimate?
Well, most of us have got a pretty good idea if you've zoomed down a freeway and forgotten to, you know, pay a toll or you haven't got an e-tag on or something like that. Most of us have got an idea of that, Sam.
I've got it on my phone. Yeah, everyone gets them.
They are scams. You've got to be careful of the things that you get as text messages. You do need to be careful.
All right. What? What's that, Don?
It's a wind-up.
He needs a coffee.
Flagging. He needs a coffee.
Just one final thing, Don. We've just left it to the end and we don't have to worry about Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, coming on because he's not coming on because Donald Trump has taken Donald Trump, the greatest man ever.
Okay, come on.
All right. So, michaelchristianmenswear.com. And now
I need three of those.
Look at these.
Listen to me.
They've got to go to Israel. I've already been asked. Free and we've got to sign
them. I've left the best till last and this is... Michael Christian has had manufactured by the sweatshop people in Indonesia, the young lads and girls who make the hats, where they get made for everyone makes them there, all the Nike shoes, everything, so don't think we're Mick Christian's out of line. But he does get them embroidered here in Tasmania. He does all the embroidery.
How's the spelling?
Tasmania? Mm. Yeah, no, the spelling's good. You cannot be serious. We proofed that. These are collector's items. It's got 17 on one side, 17. Which was my number, and 23 on the other side, which was your number. And these hats...
Can I ask you about 17? Has that got any significance in Geelong beside you? Because at Hawthorn, 23 is a bit of a revered number because Ted Fletcher wore it in the early 50s, then John Peck, and I was lucky enough to inherit it.
What about Dermy?
Yeah.
What number followed? Was he? Yep.
Mm-hmm. And your question?
And 17 got a history in
July? Yes, John O'Neill was the – I took the number from John O'Neill. John O'Neill
came from Mara, didn't he? Was he the chap from Mara in New South Wales?
I'm fucked if I know where he came
well,
from.
Well, you didn't even talk to your teammates, so that'd be
John O'Neill. I took it from him. I was given it, and I kept it for 18 years.
Okay, so nobody before John O'Neill? Anybody after you?
What, do you think they retired it when I retired?
No,
you?
No, I just want to know. There's plenty of people at 17. There's a significant number 17 at Geelong. Who's wearing it at Geelong now?
I have no idea.
Oh, jeez.
Well, who's wearing 23 at Hawthorn?
Kaczynski.
Who?
Kaczynski.
Kaczynski?
Yep.
Wasn't he a St Kilda player?
No, that's his cousin or nephew.
Oh, well, anyhow, I'm not sure why he said that. These hats here, Mick has commissioned a brace of these hats and he's going to let them go. You wait till I tell you the price. On these hats, you're going to sign them and I'm going to sign them. This represents...
Do I get to sign them?
Shut up.
Oh, Evan. Shut up. Little Sir Echo.
This represents, Phoebe, over 600 AFL games of football. People who have captained their club and captained a premiership side. You've captained a premiership side. We've captained our clubs. We've had numerous best and fairest. We've played in numerous finals. And we are going to personally sign these. And if and now, what you wait? What do you think he's letting them go for? These collector's items.
Two bob.
Of you cannot be serious.
I wouldn't give personally, you 2 bob for it.
Pardon?
I wouldn't give you 2 bob for it.
Well, what have I just given you today? I've given you the takings of. I've given you a handout of the takings Mick has sent over.
It's 200 short.
Yeah, because I didn't have the money on me. But you think I'm good for it, Don?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyhow, what do you reckon, Phoebe? Seriously, with Don's signature and mine, collector's items, you cannot be serious. What do you think we're going to let? He's letting them go for
$35.
What, that's the normal price for them, isn't it?
That's right.
That's the normal.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's a rip-off. Fiona, it's a rip-off. Keep going.
It is not a rip-off.
You'll find gold in the brim.
I'm not sure how he arrived at this price, but all up, postage in play, postage included, all up, no more to pay.
Come on, how much?
$69.
Oh, shit, he's got them again.
$69.
$69 for one of them.
Well, Don, with your signature and my signature,
not worth two bob.
And the Phoebe's number on it. And
Phoebe, we can put your face on the top of it.
Ridiculous. Go on.
It's a collector's item. And where you're going to sign.
Actors item.
And then if you want the one with the Chinese, you cannot be serious.
Well, I like that one. Actually,
he's going to get them
good.
Manufactured
I think
as well.
I like that better. Hey, okay. By the way, like what's that. Happened to our little logo? I see we got rid of the – who's got to our logo?
You said wind this up. So we're going to wind it up. We've got plenty more to talk about. You want to get onto the AFL. The AFL
– I want to get onto our logo talking about hats.
Phoebe, Ivan, anything else quickly?
Nothing.
I miss Ben.
I'm hoping around the streets late at night. I'm worried because.